Good morning. Page 692, Isaiah 7, 10 to 17. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I would not ask. I would not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Second Bible reading is from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. It's on page number 1663 in Church Bible. Okay, 1063. Sorry, 1063. So John chapter 1, verse 1 onwards. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.'" Shall we pray before we look in this passage? Father God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ Jesus, who can reveal to us who you are. Thank you that we can look into your scriptures, the written word of God, through whom we can understand Christ and understand you. Even as today we look into your scriptures, help us to see you more better and help us to worship Christ better. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just 10 days more for Christmas, 10 more sleeps, and I hope you're all getting ready as a family for Christmas Day. And I think when churches get ready for Christmas, they normally look at Bible passages like the ones where Mary was met by an angel, or you look at a passage where the shepherds came to see baby Jesus, or the Magi came to see the baby Jesus, and so on. Those passages are really good. In some sense, you are looking at a story and you're trying to understand the characters and how they viewed Jesus. But it's also very good during Christmas season to look at a passage like John chapter 1, where you don't have all the other extra elements like the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and the Magi, but this passage mainly looks at the baby that was born on Christmas Day. And we can understand better who Jesus is and why he came into this world. So I'm going to look at this passage based on 2 points. So firstly, we are looking at the revelation of Jesus that is found in this passage. And then we are going to look at the response of humans towards Jesus. So firstly, the revelation of Jesus that we can see in this passage. So it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So John the apostle who wrote this this book in the Bible, he thinks if you want to know the person he's writing about, we have to go of a time before the beginning of time. He says, he starts with the words, "In the beginning." And if you're familiar with the Bible, the first page of the Bible, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, starts with the same words, "In the beginning." And it starts to think of that time, when a time before all time and all creation was created. He says the Word was even existing at that time, before time was created. He was always there. He was talking about someone who is eternal. What else was said about the Word? If we see in verse 1, it says the Word of God, Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's talking about a person. In verse 3, in verse 1 we see he's God. But also in verse 3, we see this Word is also a person called Him. Also in verse 3, we understand that the Word is the one that made everything. And without Him, nothing was made. So when we say nothing was made, it makes it very clear that He is not a created being. He's talking about the Creator who has created everything. And so in verse 3, we are introduced to someone who is eternal and was created all things. And then we go on to verse 4, and the writer goes on to say that the Word is the source of all life. So any living being that we get to meet in this world are created by Him. But the Word is the one who gives understanding, because He is the one who created us. He is the one who has given life. He is the one who has given us brains. We are able to understand things in this world. And He gives light to all humans who have life. So to use a phrase, to keep someone in the dark, that means someone is keeping you deliberately, keeping you from being uninformed about something. But in this passage it says, the Word does not keep us in the dark. The Word is the one who gives us understanding, light to all humans. Then we are introduced to a person called John. This John was John the Baptist, who is different to the writer of this book, John the Apostle. We will hear more about him later on from verse 19 onwards, which is not what we are looking at today, but it's there in this chapter. So he's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a celebrity during the first century who had witnessed about the Word that John the Apostle is referring to. And now the Word is referred to as light in verse 7. Now let me read verses 6 and 7. In verse 6 it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Verse 7, "He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe." And verse 8, He himself was not light. He came only as a witness to the light. As mentioned in verse 6, he was a man sent from God. But also he was very popular among the Jewish people of the first century. He was a celebrity preacher. Wherever John the Baptist went, he gathered huge crowds. Everyone followed him. He was like a modern-day pop singer, Taylor Swift. You know, he had a huge fan following. Everyone goes to listen to him as though he was the main act. But what did John the Baptist do? John the Baptist is saying, I am not the light. In other words, he's saying, I am not the main act from God. I am the warm-up act. He went around preaching so that people will get ready to listen to the main act from God when he comes to speak through the word, who will provide light and understanding to all mankind. Then in verse 14, we learn something more about this word. Verse 14, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in verse 14, we are told the Word, who is the Creator, had made his dwelling among humans. God has taken on flesh to live with people. And John the Apostle is saying, we have seen his glory. So there's another John. This is John the Apostle who has written this book. He says he and his friends have seen someone who was out there in the heavens from the beginning of time. And he says he's this creator of the universe. He has now come down to live among humans. We have seen him. That's the testimony of John the Apostle. Imagine during the week as you went into central London for work, one of the person you met on the underground train happened to be the creator of the universe. That's what John the Apostle is talking about. Something like that has happened in this world. And it happened during his time. So John the Apostle is saying, he's a true eyewitness to the creator of the universe living in human flesh. So now we are introduced to a creator who has taken on human flesh. And now in verse 14, the word was referred to as the one and only Son who came from the Father. In the Bible, God reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So here finally we are told the word mentioned in verse 1, who was always with God, is referred to as the God, the Son, who has taken on human flesh. Then if you look down at verse 16, we see that from Jesus, all humans receive grace upon grace. So we now know the Son of God's name is Jesus. And God's grace comes only through Jesus to all humankind. Grace is the undeserved favor of God that is shown to humans. And John the Apostle is claiming that Jesus alone can show this undeserved favor to humans from God. But he says that God's law came through Moses and another man. However, for those who break God's law that came through Moses, Jesus alone can offer the undeserved favor from God. Then in verse 18, we see Jesus can make known the unknown God the Father. Someone who has been in a close relationship with God the Father from before the creation of time, that we see in verse 1, because we see that it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So this Word, we have known that it's the Son of God named Jesus. And in verse 1, we see he was with God even before creation of time. So he was with God the Father before the creation of time. And now, why has he come into this world? so that he can reveal to human race, he can show light to all humans about God the Father. Someone who has been in close relationship with God the Father has come into this world to make known to all human beings who God the Father is. And John's claim in verse 18 is also that through Jesus we can have a close relationship with God the Father. This is who Jesus is, and this is what he came to achieve in this world. He's a creator who came as a human so that he can show favor to humans from God and bring them into a close relationship with God. And you might think, when such a person comes into this world, that everyone would be excited. Everyone would respond positively to such a creator coming down on flesh in order to reveal the unknown God to humans. But that was not the case. I mostly looked at verses 1 to 9 and then 14 to 18. But if you look at verses 10 to 13 with me, we'll look at it at the second heading, the response to Jesus from humans. Imagine no one need to be involved in a guessing game about who God is. The Creator himself has taken on human flesh to shed light on to all humans about God. You assume every people from every part of the world would have flooded to Israel to hear from God, hear from Jesus about God. But what we see in verse 10 is that verse 10 says that Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through Jesus, the world did not recognize him. Firstly, the people of the world did not recognize him. That's a shocking statement here. Many people talk about that God is someone who is out there. He's a big force, but he never comes closer to any human. And that's why we don't know God. But here, John's teaching is that God has come down. He has come and revealed himself through Jesus Christ. But what is the response from humans? It says the whole world rejected him. But it gets a lot worse. If you look at verse 11, it also says that he was rejected by his very own. So Jesus was born as a Jew and came to that which was his very own. But his own did not receive him. So why is the Jewish people called the very own? It's because Abraham is the first man who believed in God. And the descendants of Abraham are the ones who became the Jewish people. And the Jewish people had the Old Testament books in the Bible. They were revealed, God revealed to them through prophets over centuries. And just before Jesus starting, even through John the Baptist, who is considered to be the last of the Old Testament prophets. Constantly God was revealing through all the prophets what to look for when God comes down as a man. And even the Jewish people who had so much of revelation from God rejected Jesus. And the writer of this book, John the Apostle, was a Jew. There are some Jews who responded positively to Jesus. However, the majority of Jews rejected Jesus. That was the response Jesus received when he was in the world. That is a shocking response, isn't it? Humans saying to God, we don't need you. We should be all right without the revelation from you, Jesus. We are fine. Thanks, but no thanks. And that is what people say to God in modern day as well, isn't it? When the teachings of Jesus are available online, when the teachings of Jesus are accessed on internet, on mobile phones, Churches are found down the road from where people live that teach the Bible. Believers are available to spend time one-to-one to explain to you the teachings of Jesus to others. But what do majority of the people do? All they do is just like what they did in the first century. They say thanks, but no thanks. We don't have time for Jesus and his revelation. We are happy with our lives. We have good education. We are in a first world country. We have good jobs. We have enough money in the bank. We are quite happy with how we live. We don't need the revelation of God. Partly why it has happened in the Western world is because of what secular thinkers and atheists have made people think about religious truths, isn't it? So they say every religion has only partial truth. Everyone has some kind of opinion, but no one has the truth. So they use the illustration of five blind men and an elephant. That has become a very popular illustration to say all religions have some truth from God, but no religion has full understanding of God. So the illustration goes something like this. Once there was five blind men. They all tried to fully understand an elephant. The first blind man put his hand and touched the side of the elephant. How smooth! The elephant is like a wall. The second blind man put out his hand and touched the trunk of the elephant. How round! An elephant is like a snake. The third blind man put out his hand and touched the tusk of the elephant. How sharp! An elephant is like a spear. The fourth blind man put out his hand and touched the leg of the elephant. How tall! An elephant is like a tree. And the fifth blind man reached out his hand and touched the ear of the elephant. How wide! An elephant is like a fan. Each blind man, thinking his own perceptions of the elephant was the correct one, started to disagree with the other religions or the other blind men. And there was a king who was not blind, and he was seeing all the blind men quarreling from his balcony. And then he shouts out, "The elephant is a big animal. Each man has touched only one part of it. You must put all the parts together and find out what the elephant is like." And every blind man is now enlightened by the king's wisdom. And the blind men all come to an agreement. And they say, "Each one of us knows only the parts. To find out the whole truth, we must put all the parts together." So this is a very famous illustration, but it doesn't work, isn't it, when we understand the Bible? Because firstly, God is not like the elephant. He can speak and has the ability to reveal himself to all humans. He has spoken through the prophets in the Old Testament. But above all, through God the Son, Jesus Christ. Unlike the elephant, if God can speak based on what God has spoken, we can evaluate what different religions are saying is true or false, even if we are blind. Secondly, this illustration has become so popular because the basic assumption is all religious groups fail to listen and understand about what other religious groups teach. If only religious groups learn to listen and learn, then they will get more clarity about the truths of God. That assumption is also false. Now, if you take the time to listen and understand teachings from different religions, the truth claims contradict each other and therefore are false claims. Say, for instance, Judaism says Jesus is not the Son of God. Muslim religion says Jesus was only a prophet. Some other religious groups acknowledge Jesus only as a good teacher of human values. Then you come and read John chapter 1. You have to either say the claims about Jesus in this chapter are false, or you should accept the claims in this chapter are true. Also in this illustration, the five religious groups are portrayed as blind men. None of them have seen the elephant fully and hence can't shed full light about the elephant. But in the story, there is also a king on the balcony who can see everything clearly and make a truth claim. And what the secular thinkers and atheists are doing by using this illustration is actually making a truth claim. And they are saying, I'm the only one in the light. Unless you religious people listen to me, blind fellows, you cannot fully understand God. And if you agree with the secular thinkers and atheist truth claim, then Jesus is one among those five blind fellows. That again does not work once you understand who Jesus is from John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the truth claim is that Jesus is the only one who is like the king in the balcony. He alone can truly shine light about who God the Father is. He alone can bring you into a right relationship with God. So the right way to respond to the truth of Jesus' claims in this passage is to receive Jesus for who he really is. John, the writer of this book, says, if you respond and accept Jesus and his revelation, we see in verse 12, it says, to all those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. So imagine being born in a British royal family. That comes with a lot of privileges, isn't it? Here, what Jesus offers to those who receive him is an opportunity to become the children of God. Jesus offers something way bigger than being part of a British royal family. We get to call God as Father and have a personal relationship with him. In verse 12 it says, all those who believe in his name will get the privilege to become the children of God. So what does believe in his name means? So say for instance, if you want good burgers at an affordable price, you might believe in McDonald's. So if you believe in McDonald's, every time you want a burger at an affordable price, you are turning up at McDonald's. So if you want to become a child of God and to know God the Father personally, then you have to believe in the name of Jesus mentioned in this passage. Jesus, who is the Creator God, who alone can reveal God the Father to us. Jesus, the loving God, who later in John's Gospel was willing to die on a cross to bring us into a right relationship with God. We have to believe in the name of this Jesus to have a loving relationship with God the Father. If you're not a Christian, this is what you need to do to come into a right relationship with God. If you're already a Christian, we are called to be thankful to Jesus who has come to bring light about God the Father and who we are as Christians in relationship to God. But also, if you're a Christian, we are all called to continue in our belief in Jesus Christ, in changing circumstances of life, in the ups and downs of financial situation, health situation, breakdown of relationship with other humans. Let us not forget what Jesus has achieved for us. For the Bible says, the God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him have eternal life and relationship with God. So that's what Jesus has achieved. In spite of our relationship, we continue to believe that we are a loved son or daughter of God. Also, we are called to be confident in who we are in Jesus, to confidently relate with God as his children in prayer. Let us pray as we close. Father God, we are thankful for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you have given your only begotten Son for us, so that we can personally call you as Abba Father and come before you. You are a God who cares for us. Thank you that you are willing to listen to us and to provide grace upon grace with each passing day. We pray you continue to pour out your grace to all of us as your children, and continue to help us to walk closely with you till we meet you face to face. Amen.